All right, our text for today is Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 28.
Okay.
Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 28. If you're able to stand, would you please do so? I'll read these verses audibly in your hearing. We honor God as we stand in His presence, and then we're going to ask God to help us to understand what He says here, how it applies to our lives, and then so that we may live accordingly. Beginning at verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. This is, by the way, this is we're picking up on Peter's sermon right after Pentecost. The Spirit of God has fallen on them and has given Peter the courage now to preach and in spite of his adversaries and his opponents. And we're picking up after he has begun this sermon. You got it? 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God, with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, verse 23, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. Verse 27, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Amen. Our Father, we humbly bow before you now. Confess our need for your help to understand what you mean by what you say, to rightly interpret, Lord, the Word of God, to rightly apply it to our lives. And, oh God, we need your help to live according to your will and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Our subject for today is free from the agony of death. Free from the agony of death. And so as we begin, I want to remind you that where we're starting here, Christ has already been murdered. And I purposely use that word because I think many times in our generation, when we hear the word crucified, it doesn't register with us because we don't crucify, at least not in our culture, we don't crucify people today. This was the most painful way of killing a person known to man at the time, okay? And it's premeditated, okay? That's the reason it's murder. And so Christ was murdered after having experienced betrayal and premeditation and manipulation. But all of this was according to the scriptures, right? Christ was also buried in a borrowed tomb of a wealthy man, which was, again, according to the scriptures. Isaiah 53 says that he would be buried among the rich. Okay, and those of you who know the story, Joseph of Arimathea was a fairly wealthy man, and he had this this new tomb, right? And so what an amazing privilege we have to see God fulfill all of these truths, and for our eyes to be open to see them when so many read these same truths and just can't grasp, they can't believe that it's true. We also know that Christ was gloriously resurrected from the dead by the power of God, which again is what? According to the scriptures. Everything that we read here when it comes to Christ, the book of Matthew, ensures that we can see over and over again so that the scripture might be fulfilled. God spent all of those years, centuries, building these truths, making promises through prophets, in situations to various generations. Various generations got these prophecies, but God in His infinite wisdom worked out every detail. It's phenomenal that He worked out every detail of what He prophesied. Why? Because He knows the end from the beginning. And it's more than Him just knowing it. He's omnipotent. He's able to pull it off. If He said it, He can do it.
Amen.
He says, I will accomplish all my good pleasure. No one else can claim that but God. And He did it with Christ, but according to the Scriptures. And then finally, as we come here to this text that we're looking at, we see that the apostles now have become witnesses for Christ. Right? In the power of the Holy Spirit. You remember what Jesus says? After the Holy Spirit has come upon you, then you will be what? My witnesses. You will witness for me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the remote parts of the earth, of the world, right? And it happened exactly as He said. Why? Because God said it.
Amen.
And He's able to do everything He said.
Amen.
This is wonderful. We're the most blessed people in all of time and eternity.
Amen.
To know God and to belong to God means that His plan will work out for you exactly as He said.
Hallelujah.
No one and nothing can stop you from getting from where you are to where God plans for you to be. Nothing. This is phenomenal. He uses everything. Working it together for our good. Working it. And you're scratching your head trying to figure it out. And He says, I've already done it.
Yes.
Trust me.
Yes.
Trust in the Lord. What? With all your heart. Stop trying to rationalize. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Your understanding is too shallow.
Come on.
You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
That's right.
You're kicking against the prick because you didn't get the promotion and didn't get moved to this. I know people in my own company have got these great promotions. Moved from here to San Antonio. Moved their families. Got new houses. And were there a year and it got fired. We don't know the future. God gave me no peace about going. I was threatened. They threatened to fire me. But God is the one who controls my future.
Yeah.
Not the company.
Yeah.
Bad medical reports. You've seen it over and over again.
Yeah.
People, the doctor gives you 6 months to live or a year. They don't know.
Yeah.
They're amazed to see you continue to grow. People look at your family and they say, it's not going to make it.
Right.
You're falling apart. The bottom is falling out. But you're still there. You're still taking it.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Lord.
This is wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
For the Christian.
Yes, it is.
And this is just because we look at what happened to Christ.
Yeah.
When you look at, He is our example. You look at Him, and from the world's perspective, He was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He was a nobody. They criticized Him, they slandered Him. He went around doing good, and they would accredit that to the devil.
Yeah.
Why are we surprised? Mm-hmm. And I don't even know, I'm not even there yet. But I mean, these are just truths.
Yeah.
The resurrection ought to stir these things in us. Because Christ has gone before us. And you already see, how it turned out for Him. He didn't own anything. Had one change. He didn't have a change of clothes. Why didn't He say He had a change of clothes?
Uh-huh.
Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have what? Have nests. But the Son of Man, what? He didn't have a home. We're supposed to complain about the one we got. And it all started.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at Him, does that matter now with Christ?
Yeah.
That he didn't have a wonderful career, and that people thought that He was so wonderful, and that He didn't have multiple changes of clothes, and that He had all these high positions. Does that matter now?
No.
God has given Him a name, what? Higher than any name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Because it's God who raises up.
Yeah.
And when God raises you up, no man can put it down.
Thank you, Lord.
Stay faithful.
Uh-huh.
I probably could end right there. But there's a little bit more to say, all right? And so, as we look at these verses, I want to talk about these two big thoughts. When we look at the life of Christ, I want to show you that Christ was attested by God in his life and death. God validated him, if you will, in his life and in his death. And the second big thought is that he was resurrected by God from the dead, okay? Attested by God in life and death, we see that in verse 22 and 23, and then resurrected by God from the dead in verses 24 through 28, all right? Let's look, first of all, at what I call attested by God in life and death. In the life of Christ, verse 22, look at 22 again. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know. So in the life of Christ, God the Father validated that Jesus was the Messiah with undeniable divine works. They're referred to here as mighty works, as wonders and signs. What is a sign? A sign isn't there for you to look at the sign. A sign what? Points you to something. It gives you a truth and it gives you directions. So rather than being enamored about the miracles and the mighty things that God has done, he wants you to see that validates who I say I am. Right? God validated who Jesus was in his life. As a matter of fact, can you find Matthew 11? Turn to Matthew 11. These divine actions and deeds pointed to God as the source. Matthew 11, verses 2 through 6. Can you find that? Matthew 11. Now, John the Baptist has been incarcerated because he's faithful to God. He's been preaching. So he's been incarcerated, all right? And he's incarcerated now, and he hears about Jesus working these mighty deeds, right? That's the context that we're about to read here. You got verse 2, Matthew 11, 2. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered him, "Go and tell John, look at this, what you hear and see." Now, verse 5, you got it? The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Amen. What is he saying? Look at the signs. Look at the mighty wonders. They validate John. Go back and tell John. He is healing the lame. He's feeding the poor. He's doing mighty works. He's even raising the dead. No one can do that but God.
Amen.
These mighty works validate who Jesus says he is. Okay? So in his life, Peter says here, God attested that Christ was the Messiah, the Savior, sent from God to save those who believe in him. Peter also says, though, in verse 23, that Christ validated or attested to the identity of Christ in his death. You notice that, look at verse 23. This Jesus, delivered up to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. This is a very important verse. Now, let's unpack it a little bit. The death of Christ for sinners was purposeful. I've read commentaries that say that if the Jews had just accepted Jesus, if they just believed, then Jesus would not have had to die. Don't buy into that. God had, Genesis 3:15, God had already made the plan for our redemption. Right? And so you don't have to go into all this speculation about what would or would not have happened. This was God's plan. Now this is important. You see that word definite? It's in the ESV. It may be foreknowledge and predetermined. It may be in some of your translations. It's the Greek word horizo, all right? Horizo. And what does it sound like? Horizon, okay? And so the point is that God already had determined, it was predetermined for Christ to die. Sinners had to be redeemed. Christ himself said, as he was praying in the garden, right? If at all, if possible, what? Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, what? Your will be done. Why? Because it's not possible. God has already determined that Christ must die. Thank God for that. That's the way we were redeemed.
Amen.
Right? It was a predetermined plan. It's essential. And the foreknowledge of God. Now, normally people think of foreknowledge as just God being smart. It's more than that. God doesn't just know what the future holds. He makes the future come true.
That's right.
Okay? So whatever he thinks, he does. Whatever he plans, he pulls it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's foreknowledge, you see? And so you and I didn't get saved just because your people want to think of election this way. God looked way down the annals of time, and he saw that day when you were gonna turn and accept Christ, and then that's when he elected you. Come on. Mm-hmm. I was so lost, there ain't no way I was gonna turn to God.
Yeah,
I love the Bible's right. The Bible tells the truth about me. I love sin.
Right.
And you did too.
Yes. Yes.
There's no way I'm gonna turn away from this on my own.
Right.
It took power to save me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My heart, I had to be changed from the inside.
Uh-huh.
I love partying. I love lying and cheating. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I didn't say it, but I proved it.
Yeah.
With my lifestyle. And you did too.
Yeah. Amen.
I was a slave to it.
Uh-huh.
It took power to set me free.
Yeah.
Amen.
But, and so, you weren't sitting around and I decided. You didn't do this on your own. There's no reason for anybody to boast.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus came to what? Seek and what? Say, I was saved.
Yeah.
I was saved. I didn't save. I didn't do it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sitting around thinking about God. The only way I stopped thinking about him is he changed me.
Well, yeah. Yes, he did.
And it's the most glorious miracle that has ever happened in any individual's life.
Amen.
To be brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of God.
Amen.
There is no other miracle than that.
Amen.
And his foreknowledge, he knew what he was going to do.
Uh-huh.
You see, before you were ever born,
well,
God decided that he's going to pass over folks in your family. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is phenomenal.
Amen.
Jesus says, all that the Father hath given to me, what? Will come to me. That's the only way I got saved.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I'm thankful that folks didn't give up on me.
Uh-huh.
Now some did. Lots did. But God had some that didn't.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's the way you got saved.
Thank you,
Lord. Right.
Amen.
It was part of his plan.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Nobody here is saved by luck.
Amen.
You didn't happen to be at this place at the right time. Today. If God saved somebody today, this is no luck.
Amen.
This is his predetermined plan.
Amen.
You're here. Now you might say, well, I guess I'll go to church because it's Easter. This is God's plan.
Amen.
You see, this is too serious to attribute to luck.
Yeah.
Your soul and the eternal destiny of your soul is much too... You're a treasure to God. You're so valuable that Jesus, the Son of God, came to die. So why would God then let that work its way out with luck? You see? That's foolish. It's part of his. Now that upsets people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thankful that my salvation don't rest on luck and happenstance.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that God, like a laser,
Thank you, Lord.
He set his mind on me.
Thank you, Lord.
And he found me when nobody else was looking for me.
Come on.
I wasn't saved in the church. Uh-huh. God found me in the world.
Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that good? That's good God. He comes to seek and save what?
Yeah.
And so, just as Christ's death was purposeful and predetermined and essential, your salvation was too.
Amen.
It was absolutely essential for you to be saved. Well, what are you saying, Brother William? Mm-hmm. God has a place already reserved for you.
Thank you, Lord.
He's got to save you.
Yes.
In my Father's house, what? One of them's got your name on it. That's a picture. But if he's got a reservation for you, then he's got to what? He's got to save you.
Amen.
For you to get there.
Hallelujah.
You got this?
Mm-hmm.
What am I saying? My brother, my sister, you are special.
Amen.
If you're saved, and if you can hear me today, if you're not saved, if you can hear what I'm saying,
yeah.
You're special to God.
Yeah.
He's speaking to you.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't pick you out. I don't even know where you are. I don't know whether you're saved or not. But God does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the gospel is like a laser.
Yeah.
A laser drive. That's not the best image. But, you understand?
Pinpoint it.
Gospel doesn't miss. You get the wrong images in your mind. I start talking about the lazy guy that is like that. You know what I'm saying? But God doesn't miss. Isn't that good?
Amen.
He really didn't miss you. Makes no mistake. Other people maybe think you're going through a phase. They think it'll play out, it'll wear out. Your family thinks. Once you get done with this day, you move on. Mm-hmm. God doesn't play again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, he loves me. He loves me now. You see, God doesn't do that again. Maybe I'm saved, maybe I'm not.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if I did something bad enough to go to hell. I wonder if God doesn't play anything.
Amen.
When he saves you, he saves you.
Yeah.
How can it be eternal? How can he give you eternal life and then it's not eternal?
Amen.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
God so loved the world, what? Gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whoever believes in him would not turn out what? Perish, so have what? Well, if it's eternal life, it can't be eternal and then broken up. Right? And if it's eternal to God, he already knew it before you got here.
Yeah.
You just didn't know it.
Right.
I didn't think. But you, this is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the when you understand that God is not limited. When we talk to the children about the strong, the one that's strong and mighty, that's God. That's God. Not only does he know everything, he can do anything. He can save the worst of sinners.
Yes.
Yes,
so don't start talking about how bad you've been.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean nothing carry any weight but God.
Mm-hmm.
Once he sets his sight on you,
thank you, Lord.
Yeah. He helps you see that Jesus died for every sin you ever committed.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Not only that, not only the ones that you committed in the past, he died for all those you're going to commit in the future.
Thank you, Lord.
Whoa! Jesus. This is wonderful.
Yes.
Jesus.
That's the reason once I belong to him, I belong to him.
That's right.
Right?
Amen. That's right.
The death of Christ for sinners was purposeful, predetermined, and essential in the plan of redemption. But then you notice that even though God is sovereign in his rule, sinners are responsible.
Amen.
And accountable for the murder of Christ. God planned for Christ to die to redeem sinners.
Yeah.
But people are responsible for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
It was an awful sin to kill Christ. Judas was among the 12 to betray Christ. And you know how awful that was. The Bible says it's better that he not have been born. But that was his purpose. Right? And so you see how 23 reads? This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. And see what he said? This was a part of Jesus' death was a part of God's plan that had already been predetermined. But he's looking at the next word. You crucified and killed him. Even though it was a part of God's plan, God didn't kill Jesus. You did. My brother, my sister, it's the same. We got the same problem that you see with Adam and Eve in the garden. People have trouble owning up to their own sin. It's always someone else's fault. I wouldn't have cussed you if you hadn't done this. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have lied if you hadn't put me in that position. I wouldn't have. It's always somebody else's fault until God puts you in the corner and says, shut up, own it.
Yes.
You did it.
Yes.
Stop blaming other people.
That's right.
Peter said, you killed him.
Right.
Now it was God's plan.
Yes.
Don't you can't blame God for it. You did it.
Uh-huh.
You hated him.
That's right.
You hated him. You didn't want him. You didn't want to hear what he had to say.
That's right.
You killed him.
That's right.
You crucified him.
Yeah.
You said, give us Barabbas.
That's right.
You said it. And if you're not a Christian here today, stop kidding with yourself. Patting yourself on the back and thinking you're not all right. Your sin will send you to hell.
Yeah.
God has made a way for you, but if you don't come to him, you are going to hell.
That's right.
I'm not trying to be crass. That's the fact.
That was true.
If you don't come to Christ, you will wind up in hell. Because God has... It's a definite plan.
Yeah.
You can't miss the plan.
Yeah.
The plan is clear. Jesus said what? If I, what? Be lifted up, I'll go all men to me. You can't miss it.
That's right.
He is the way.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You can't get there by coming to church.
Amen.
You can't get to heaven by reading your Bible.
Amen.
And paying tithes and becoming a deacon or usher or a preacher or whatever to try to get your conscience clear. It won't work that way. Many religions are built on that.
Uh-huh.
Buying books and going out and doing street service and all. No! There's only one way to be saved. This is the plan.
Yeah.
Own your own sin and come to Christ and say, Lord, forgive me.
Yeah.
Thank
you for
that.
I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
I need salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
Not mother's fault, it's not this one's fault, it's not, is it? Not because I was in the project, it's not, you know, because I was born in a family. We all smoked pot, we all did this, we all did crack, we all, no, she's going to get me on that. The issue is not what they did, the issue is what you do.
That's right. Oh, okay.
Right?
Yes,
sir. And when you own it, he'll save you.
Amen.
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 Yes,
because everyone the Son sets free is what?
Free
indeed. Free. Christ was attested by God in life and death. All right. Then finally, Christ was resurrected by God from death. He's freed from the power of death. I see that in 24:25-26. Now, I had to think about, I wrestled with this over the weekend. This power of death. Power. Think about it. What is the power of death? What is it? Death has power. We were talking about that with the children, right? Is that for a brief period of time, death had power over Jesus. He succumbed to it. Remember, he says, Father, my God, what? Why have you forsaken me? But he who knew no sin, what?
Became
sin. So that we might, what? Become the righteousness of God. So that was a period of time when he was. He was the weaker, if you allow. But that's because he submitted himself. He says, no man takes my life from me, what? I lay it down on my own. Okay? And so, this power of death, this is the way I word it, the power of death or the sting of death is sin and its consequences. Sin is the power. And Satan uses that to sting us.
Amen.
You see, I told you, you're in this and you're in all that, and you just a lie. You see, you don't want folks to know this about you. You're this mm-hmm. and you're that. Because Satan is what? He's an accuser.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he lures us in by telling you how good it's going to feel, mm-hmm. and how good it's going to taste, and what a good time you're going to have. But he didn't talk to you about the consequences.
Right.
He doesn't tell you that what a man sows, but
he's gonna read.
You go and plant the seeds at that party, there's some seeds coming up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the fact is, they don't come up when it's convenient. All of us know the consequences. Whatever a man sows, that what? It's coming up. So, can you turn to 1 Corinthians 15? 1 Corinthians 15. verse 55 and 56. Look at it. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? You see that? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. You see? And so, that sin comes in. And that, you remember what Paul said? I didn't know I was covetous until the law showed. Until I was showed I was covetous by the law. You see? And so, the sting and the power of death and the sting of death is sin and its consequences. In the resurrection, Jesus fully experienced the agony of death, and he was victorious with divine power. That's what I mean by verse 24. You see verse 24? God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Though Jesus submitted to death, he laid down his life. He allowed people to kill him, to murder him. He submitted to him. He allowed to the abuse. He was, the Bible says he's wounded, right?
Yeah.
By our transgressions. He's bruised. He was mutilated. He was mutilated more than any human being. He didn't even look like a human being. They beat him so. He purposefully yielded to that. And then he yielded to death. But it was not possible to keep that.
Yeah.
Because the 1 Timothy 1:10 says he abolished death.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't possible. Because the only reason he submitted to it is because it was a part of the plan.
Uh-huh.
But when the plan was over, when the plan called for the death and the real death of it, of him, and the satisfaction of sin, when that was over, Jesus, the plan, that part of the plan is over. Jesus rose from the dead.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Remember I said in Revelation 1, I am the first.
Yeah.
And the last.
Yeah.
And the living one. Yeah. I died, but behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I've got the keys to death and Hades.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to die anymore.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Not going to die anymore.
Yeah. Lord.
The gospel story is done.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
You either believe it
mm-hmm.
and be saved mm-hmm. or reject it. And suffer the consequences.
Amen.
He's already done the work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't have to sell any books. You know? You don't have to visit 20 homes.
Well,
and all, you know, all the kind.
Yeah.
Now, after you're saved, you ought to be a good ambassador. I'm not talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about on the front end. You don't do that to get right with God.
That's right.
And you don't sit around saying, well, I'm going to come to the Lord when I get it all together. You can't get it together.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Christ died while I was helpless.
Yeah.
While I was a sinner.
Yeah.
He died for me. While I was an enemy.
Yeah.
He died for me.
Uh-huh.
That's the reason you remember old Billy Graham song, just as what? Just as I am. Come just like you are.
Mm-hmm.
He died for you like you are.
Right. Mm.
Thank God for that.
Yeah,
all of my mess. Mm-hmm. All of the dark stuff. Mm-hmm. He's covering it.
Yeah.
He's paid
price.
So, see, death can hold Jesus. It's powerful, but it can't deal with the one that's all powerful. Aren't you thankful for that?
Yeah.
Death had been able to hold everyone in the grave from Adam to Christ. Think of it. Everybody that died between Adam and Jesus is still in the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Their bodies, just like Genesis said, their bodies returned to what? Not this one. Can't hold this one.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to.
Real bad.
And see, Satan is ignorant. He's an idiot. He doesn't know it. But it takes an idiot to think he can win against God.
Right.
He made you.
That's right.
He knows everything about you.
Mm-hmm.
Knows all your little schemes.
Mm-hmm.
And he lets you do it, and he still works it out for the good of God.
Right.
That's
good. Yes.
And so he let Satan kill Christ because that was a part of the plan. And he let him think you can keep him. Just like
uh-huh.
Everybody says that, I'm going to keep him in the grave. You're wrong. You miscalculated this one. If you had known you were killing the Prince of Life, you never would have known. But it's too late. The damage has been done. The victory's been won. You've been defeated.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
It's not the best way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is a bad dude.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was
bad. Amen.
He looked just like everybody. He wore a robe just like everybody. He wore sandals just like everybody.
Right.
You mess with the wrong one.
Amen.
I don't know how else to say it. So I hope you're getting it.
Yes,
is that he was freed from the power of death. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Yes, he was. Ephesians 1, is it? Refers to, you know, Ephesians 1 talks about Paul was praying that the Ephesians would have the eyes of their hearts enlightened mm-hmm. so that they know what the hope of their calling, what are the glory of riches of the inheritance of all the saints. And then he say, so they might know what is the immeasurable greatness of the power of God. Right? The Holy Spirit, then he goes on to say that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's it. It was immeasurable greatness. You can't measure the kind of power that was applied to that dead body. And when God applied that body, that power to the body of Jesus, he died.
Amen.
What's he going to do? The same thing Jesus did with Lazarus.
Uh-huh.
What's going to happen when a dead body is sitting there and God says, come?
Mm.
You're going to come.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
It's not like that. All of us need to get more serious about that.
Amen.
God isn't playing games.
No.
He could kill any one of us at any second.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be justified in doing it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But he lets us live.
Yeah.
Right? He lets us live.
Amen.
Let's obey him.
Yeah.
Love him with all your heart. Stop playing games.
Yeah.
It's a lukewarm lifestyle.
That's right.
You know, go to church when you want to. Serve him when you want to. Hear him when you want to. What? Get serious.
Yeah.
This is the God that lets you wake up every day.
Yeah.
How can you make these kind of decisions on your own?
Amen.
If you die outside your sins, you will be lost forever.
Yeah.
Or die in your sins, you will be
lost.
We good?
Yeah.
Verse 25 and 26 says that the resurrection gives confidence, joy, and hope. You see that? For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. Lastly, as Christ was resurrected by God, not only was he freed from the power of death, he was freed from the decay of death. I already alluded to this. Decay of the physical body is a natural process, right? Decomposition of the physical body is a natural process. We learned that from the Garden of Eden. We already talked about that, right? God said, you were formed from dust, and to dust you what? You shall return. And so, even though that's a natural process, the fact is, Jesus was not dead in the grave long enough for decay and decomposition to show his body. You see that? That's what verse, look at 27. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Matthew 12, I believe it is. Jesus said, for as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, what? 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd Phil go? Jesus said, destroy this temple and what? In 3 days, I'll what?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Amen.
And then in Mark 10, I think it is, Jesus said that I will rise in 3 days.
Amen.
Did he do it?
Yes, he did.
His body, God was not planning for Satan to have any kind of victory.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason he's dead is because it's a part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to decay. I already told you that he would. Mm-hmm. This prophecy was given long before Jesus died, and God pulled it off just like he said he would. Didn't
Amen.
He?
Amen. Yeah.
We have plenty of reason to have good hope.
Amen.
Don't we? And that's the reason I believe this last verse here. There's fullness of joy in God's presence.
Hallelujah.
After the resurrection. You see verse 28?
Mm-hmm.
You have made known to me the paths of life,
mm-hmm.
and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. And I hope that you find that joy here today as we gather.
Mm-hmm.
That there is joy today in God's presence because of the resurrection.
Thank you, Lord.
Christ was freed from the power and the decay of death in resurrection. Amen. So then, my brother, my sister, death for Jesus Christ was described and compared to birth pains or pains that come with childbirth, right? In childbirth, there is genuine pain, right? Now, obviously, I'm not a woman, and so I can't attest to what the pains are, but I'm married to a woman, and I know I went through it. Yeah, so we showed up at Barnes one of the occasions, and we had done this quite long before. But I would walk in back in those days, you just had curtains, you know, and that a whole lot of room with the curtains. And we heard this one woman say, "Get this baby out of me!" What? Give me some medicine! We hadn't really had any serious labor yet. What's up with this? This serious business here. And all you young folks, you go to the classes and they teach you how to hold a hand, rub the head, say all these nice things. That's all fear.
Okay.
When the labor pain starts, it's for real, then, right? So my point is that there's real pain associated with childbirth, and there was real pain associated with the death of Christ. This is not a fairy tale.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He suffered.
Yeah.
He's wounded. He was bruised. He was crushed, the Bible says, for our transgressions. There was real pain associated with the death of Christ. He endured the hostility, the slander, humiliation, the injustice. He endured betrayal. He endured the abuse, the beatings, the crucifixion. He endured the brief abandonment from the Father. And 3 days and 3 nights in the grave in order to pay the debt, what? For our sins. He endured all that. For the joy that was set before him, right? He endured the cross. When the debt was paid, when the prophecies were fulfilled and the promises kept, then Jesus was resurrected. Hallelujah. Resurrected, victorious over Satan, victorious over powers, victorious over principalities, victorious over wickedness, victorious over the grave. He was resurrected in victory. Yeah, never to die again. And now he's seated, right, in heavenly places at the right hand of God with all authority, ruling his universe and waiting for that great day when he will return for every believer to experience that same promised resurrection. It's coming, my brother, my sister. Hold on. The same power will be exerted on you when that real voice breaks through the cloud and you hear that sound come forth like a trumpet and he says, come forth. Every saint is going to come up. The same power will be applied to your dust. God hasn't forgotten any molecule.
Hallelujah.
The same God who created you from dust the first time can give you the new body.
Yes.
It's going to be wonderful.
Yes.
It's going to be wonderful.
Yes.
The resurrection proves the deity of Jesus and the promised Messiah and Savior of sinners. The resurrection proves the validity of the gospel and guarantees the future resurrection of every Christian. The resurrection solidifies our hope in all the promises of God. The resurrection gives us confidence. It brings us joy. It establishes the certainty of our future, right? Because he lives. You know it. I can what? Face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face hardships. Because he lives, I can face disappointments. Because he lives, I can face opposition. Because he lives, I can face trials and tests and temptations. Because he lives, I will persevere.
Amen.
Right? Because he lives, I will not lose heart. Because he lives, I will not give up. Because he lives, I'll fight the good fight.
Amen.
I'll finish the race. And I'll keep the faith.
Amen.
Because he lives, I will. Therefore, be steadfast,
yes.
Immovable, always abounding with the labor and the work of Christ, knowing that my labor in him is what?
Not in vain.
Because he lives.
Yes, Lord.
Because he lives. If you're not a Christian, the resurrected Christ can save you today.
Yes.
He's here right now. If you can hear my voice, he says, what? Don't harden your heart. Don't shut down on me now. You followed me on this journey. I know it was a bit longer than any of us planned. But you followed me. Don't stop now. If you hear him, if you hear that regal voice calling you to himself, not to his church, not to me. Jesus calls you to him. Because I can't save you. This church can't save you. But he can. So if you can hear it, come to Jesus. Come to him. You don't have to get out of your seat. You can come to him right where you are. He knows you. He knows where you are. He knows where you don't have to move your lips. God does not look on the outward. Right? What is it? He looks at the heart. He knows what's going on inside. So when I bow to pray, you bow to pray. You decide whether you're going to surrender to him. If you do, he will save you today.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the great grace that we've come to know in Jesus Christ. Thank you for everything he suffered, everything he endured for us. Thank you for the debt that he paid. He ransomed our soul. And thank you, Lord, for guaranteeing our resurrection with his resurrection. Thank you for giving us hope today. Thank you for giving us encouragement and strength today by the resurrection of the living God. And now, Lord, I'm praying
for the soul that may be hearing the gospel for the first time today. Not with their ears, but maybe hearing the gospel for the first time in their heart. Would you save a soul today? Would you give them the courage to trust Christ and Him alone? Would you work a mighty miracle among us for your glory and for the good of that trembling soul right now? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's bow together for just a few minutes.